Welcome to the River of Calms Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, pianist Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. And our Beyond the Music podcast gives you a closer look at the artists who are on the River of Calm. And today in the studio, we have guitarist and composer Adam Werner. Adam, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. We're so excited to have you here. Now, just to get it started, tell me, how did you get started in music? What was the process there?
Well, at the age of 14, a friend of mine at the time brought me a guitar and said, hey, let's start a band. So that was that was the launching point of that.
Oh, wow. Dan, did you have lessons or were you self-taught?
I was self-taught, even all my years of college, getting my music degrees. I studied on my own the guitar itself.
Wow. No kidding. Interesting. You have great chops. So I was wondering if it was, you know, if you had lessons or not.
Oh, thank you.
Now, when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, I wanted to be a rock star, of course.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
You still have the hair for it too, don't you?
I do. Well, yeah, it's starting to thin out and fall out, but yeah, I still have the hair. So
yeah, who's looking though? Yeah. Well, cool. So when you were learning, who were your biggest influences guitar wise?
Well, at that time, you know, I grew up on heavy metal music. So, you know, the you know, bands like Iron Maiden, Metallica, things like that influenced me a lot. Guitarists like Randy Rhoads, Joe Satriani, you know, influenced me as far as guitar goes. But then later as I, you know, grew up and matured a little bit, and you know, fell in love with new age music, then I, you know, the Michael Hedges and Will Ackerman are the first two that come to mind, as really the pillars, you know, of that genre and that style of guitar playing that is what I looked up to the most.
Nice. I don't hear Iron Maiden in your songs. I really don't hear that influence at all.
Yeah. In the sense that, the complex, you know, song arrangements and, you know, things like odd meters and things like that. I've incorporated in my, solo guitar stuff, but you know, I do have a side project that incorporates that a lot more. So
nice. So
yeah.
All right. So you get handed a guitar when you're 14. Mm-hmm. What happens from there?
Well, I go and get, I think it was called Guitar Magazine. Back in the day that had sheet music or tablature in it. And I found those magazines that had the songs in them that I wanted to learn. And I taught myself how to read the tab, how to, you know, translate it onto the guitar. And then I would just practice the songs that I loved listening to, which, you know, helped me give me my skill initially. Mm-hmm. So, and then my friend and I started a band and we started writing our own music. So,
And then this is out in LA. Is that where you are?
This is in LA, and, it was, you know, the late eighties. Mm-hmm. And then we started the band in, 1990 or 91.
Yeah.
And, you know, played Hollywood, Sunset Strip and the Hollywood clubs and things like that. And it was fun. It was a great time.
Great time for music.
Yeah,
in general.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So you were at the Whiskey and the Troubadour and things like that.
Yeah. We just did, you know, did our rounds out there and, you know, some of the local clubs that were, what we call in the Valley. You know, just did what we could and, you know, just wanted to be rock stars, living that rock star lifestyle. So
understandable. No, but and on this journey, how did you get to the present day being an acoustic new age type of vibe artist?
Well, it's kind of a funny story in the sense that, you know, I grew up on heavy metal and that's the music that I listened to. And that's the music I played. You know, the music I wrote with the band and, you know, played with the band and everything, got my aggression out because I was a excuse the term, I was a very angry teenager. So I needed an outlet. And so that was my outlet. But I was introduced to Wyndham Hill in 1988 with the guitar sampler album. And that music hit really deep in me. And I was kind of, you know, quote unquote, a closet new age guy, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can't have more contrasting styles of music than, you know, heavy metal and new age. So I kept the new age aspect kind of to myself, you know, at night in my room. And it just, it really helped to center me and, you know, balance me. So I had been a fan of Wyndham Hill and its artists since 1988.
Nice.
So all the years through, you know, through the 90s, with my heavy metal band, you know, I would go home and listen to, you know, Wyndham Hill, you know, Michael Hedges, Will Ackerman, Alex Degrassi, Michael Manring, you know, Tuck Andress. You know, it just, for some reason, that music just spoke to me so deeply that I never let it go. So once I reached a point in my life where I was married, having kids, you know, needed a, you know, a job, had to take care of my responsibilities. I couldn't be in a band anymore and go to band practice 5 nights a week and do that lifestyle. So I had to hang on to music at somehow. And I felt this was what I needed to do, was to now let's pursue, you know, this new age solo guitar stuff. So
nice. Nice. Yeah. And what was your first big move in that?
Well, it was the news of Michael Hedges's passing is what really kind of catapulted me into, you know, that genre and focusing on that. I was so blown away by what he had done and created that I needed to learn as much as I could about him and what he did. So, you know, I scoured the baby internet at the time. And there was no YouTube, there was no technology like there is today. So, you know, I found fan websites that people would trade, you know, their VHS tapes and their bootleg audio recordings and things like that. So I gathered as much stuff as I could, you know, VHS tapes of live performances of Michael and, you know, audio recordings that I didn't have. And, I learned as much as I could, and I tried to learn his style and his techniques and his music. Like I did with, you know, heavy metal music back in the day, I was learning other people's music to learn the style and the techniques. You know, I soon, you know, knew about 30 of his songs and, you know, whether I did them justice or not is, you know, remains to be seen. But, you know, I managed to learn some of his techniques and, you know, decided to go out and share his music with those that had never heard from him, you know, heard of him before. And, it wasn't received well by his fanatics, but you know, that's in the past. And I did it anyway, and then, you know, decided to try and use some of those tools, techniques and whatnot in my own music. And that's when the first album, you know, was written.
And speaking of, how many albums do you have?
Well, as far as new age solo guitar music. I have, I'd like to say 2.5. The first album was really, you know, just an experiment, which didn't really go anywhere or do anything. But I did take a bunch of those tunes and added new tunes to my album Signatures, which was technically a label release. So that was really my first album was Signatures. And then my latest album, Deep, is number 2. So
nice. And we feature Deep on the River of Calm too, some of your songs there. So
yes, thank you for that.
Really cool style, and no problem on that. Now quickly, tell me about your writing process. When you write, do these songs magically appear in your head, or is it an effort or somewhere in between?
Writing music for me is really a struggle, because of the process is really hard. Inspiration comes from so many different, you know, areas. You know, I could just be working on a tune, you know, whether it be mine or somebody else's, and I stumble upon, you know, a melody or a chord progression or something that I like. Then I'll hang on to it and try and develop it into something, or I'll try a new tuning and see if something comes from that, or, you know, if I'm lucky enough, you know, the song will just write itself. But the writing process is really hard for me. And I don't know why. I just, you know, maybe I'm too critical of myself.
Do you have a huge inner critic?
I do. 'Cause you know, I know that perfection doesn't exist. But I want it to be as perfect as possible. And sometimes I'll have, you know, a part of a song that I really enjoy and it feels good to me. And I'll keep playing it over and over to try and get it to develop into something. And then, you know, weeks later, it'll just get old. And I just don't want to hear it anymore, you know? So then it's like, oh, great. Okay. Well, that song didn't really, you know, materialize, but so the process is hard, but you know, sometimes I get lucky.
And do you schedule time to write, or does it just when it feels right that you write?
Usually if I feel the need to write, I'll make the time to do it. But you know, again, I, you know, I'm married. I have two, you know, adult children now. I have a job, you know, I have so many things going on in life. I just don't have a lot of time to devote to, you know, writing at this point.
Right. And writing that takes effort to do too.
Yeah, exactly. I there are a lot of people out there that I've spoken to that, you know, oh yeah, I write a song every day, or I write, you know, I don't get it.
I can't do that. It's a struggle for me also. So you're not
alone. It's hard. And you know, I wish I wasn't as critical, because I'm sure I could probably come up with a lot more music than I do, you know. But I think it's because I'm pretty critical of myself. So
with all that and your critical inner self, not inner child, pardon me, out of all of your body of work, what is your favorite song?
That's a tough question. I don't really have a favorite song, because there's special moments and special things about each tune. And I know you want me to pick one, but I'm going to mention two. And then you can choose which you would like to.
And what we'll do, out if we have two, we'll play one now.
That's
and
fine.
We'll play one at the end of the show.
Okay, that's fine. You know, so one from my Signatures album, I think my favorite tune from that is called Over a New Land. It's a duet that I did with my friend Chris Yetten from Hawaii. And that's a really special tune for me.
Nice.
And then off the new album, I have to say, probably Sage and Sand for Tristan is my favorite on that album.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You know, it's a song I wrote for my son. And I got to, you know, write and record with Sami Tay, which was a huge honor for me. So it was
nice.
It's a special tune for myself.
Well, why don't we play that one right now? Okay.
All right, thank you.
Here we go. Adam Werner, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
And that was Sage and Sand for Tristan by Adam Warner. Well done, Adam.
Thank you very much.
Now, where can we find your music?
Well, you know, I'm anywhere online, you know, whatever your choice of music consumption services or sites.
Metallica to newage.com.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. You know, if they want to just, you know, if you'd like to go to directly to my website, I'll have links to all the various, you know, streaming services and download services, mm-hmm. Which my website is adamwerner.com.
W-E-R-N-E-R.
W-E-R-N-E-R, correct.
Okay, cool.
And one thing that, you know, that I'm not sure many music lovers or music fans know about, but I always direct them to my Bandcamp website.
Yeah.
Because that is a website that is directly to the artist. There is no middleman, and you know, the artists don't get royalties for downloads or whatever. It's a direct to the artist, you know, purchasing download, and CD website. So, if anybody would like to check out the Bandcamp website.
And what is that address, or do we just go to bandcamp.com and search your name?
You can do that. The link itself is adamwerner.bandcamp.com.
Uh-huh.
So that'll take you to, my latest album. And then you can sample, you can listen to all the tracks in their entirety before you decide, you know, to download or purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I appreciate anybody who stops by and gives a listen.
And we'll put these links in our show notes. So,
okay. Great, thank you.
Yeah, so we'll go from there. So you've had your first guitar at 14. You've had the rock metal bands. You mm-hmm. know, you played Sunset Strip. You were a closet new age artist for a long time and finally came out.
Yeah.
You've got CDs and you're bopping along. Seems like things are going well, but seriously now, what happened on December 3rd, 2018 that changed your life?
Well, driving home from my morning job at about 12:45 in the afternoon, I was hit by a car, T-boned on the driver's side of my car by a driver that was intoxicated on drugs, doing about 50 miles an hour, who ran the red light.
Oh.
So, you know, I didn't see him coming. I didn't feel a thing, and I didn't know anything had happened. But I was on life support for the first week.
Oh my gosh.
And then as I don't want to say as I started to wake up, because I really didn't, you know, wake up, for weeks. But when I started to realize that something had happened, you know, I was in the hospital, and you know, my wife and kids were around me, and family was around me, friends were around me, and you know, they were telling me what had happened, and I just couldn't process it because I didn't know anything had happened. It was the most surreal experience ever.
Wow, game changer.
But, yeah, and I just, you know, almost 7 months now, and I'm still healing. I'm still trying to recover from the numerous, you know, injuries that I sustained. And
I hate to ask, but bones broken?
Oh, many yeah. bones. Yeah. I mean, just to kind of run down a short list, the major injuries were, you know, my left femur was broken.
Oh,
my hip was fractured. My pelvis was fractured.
Oh,
broken ribs that punctured my lung, and, you know, a fractured sternum. It was pretty bad. But
wow.
Again, I'm alive, and grateful every day for being able to wake up. And, you know, it's been a struggle, and, every day is a new challenge. But that's my focus right now, and it has been since December.
You're still doing rehab, is that right, at this time?
Oh, yeah. I have physical therapy, you know, doctor's appointments, checkups, x-rays, you know, the whole nine yards. I'm still, you know, I am walking, which is good, but I do walk with a cane. And it's going to be probably about a year to probably a year and a half before I'm somewhat normal. So...
Now, how do you even process this? You have a heart of a musician, and all of a sudden, that's taken away, I assume.
Yeah. If there's anything that I've learned through this experience is patience. And I everything I do physically, I do in slow motion because I can't physically move quick. Mm-hmm. So it forces me to be present and aware of myself, which, you know, I always felt I kind of was, but, you know, not to this level. I'm like, you know, guru self-awareness guy right now. Because every step I take, everything I do, I have to be aware because I don't want to trip. I don't want to fall. I don't want to turn weird because I don't have full strength or mobility in my left leg and hip at the moment. So I have to be extremely careful with everything I do. I can't sit for very long. I can't walk for very long, you know.
Oh, wow.
So it's every day is something new. It's weird because I can't really make commitments to anything because I don't know how I'm going to feel when I wake up in the morning, you know? So I'm grateful for every day I do wake up and I feel, you know, somewhat healthy enough to be able to, I can get up today and I can do my, you know, my normal thing or whatever, which is not much, but you know, it's better than having to lay in bed for 6 weeks like I did in the hospital.
You know, you must be an Iron Man. The only reason I say this, I once had a bicycle accident and broke my pelvis.
Oh,
and I liken that to be being shot with a taser right in the pelvis, with any movement. You know, to get up, yeah. Go and I can only imagine what you must be going through. I mean, did you freak out? Was it horrifying or am I just overreacting or what?
Well, in the hospital, I was on so many pain medications that the pain was there and, you know, it hurt. But I was so loopy, with everything that they had given me, that I didn't really panic. I think the only time I panicked was when I heard that it was a car accident. I panicked myself because I didn't know if it was my fault or not, because again, I didn't know that anything had happened anyway.
Right.
So when I learned it was a car accident, I panicked for 2 days wondering if it was my fault. And I couldn't ask questions because I was, I had a breathing tube, you know, down my throat. So, I had to wait until that was, extubated, taken out before I can ask questions. So I did panic then because I racked my brain that whole time trying to figure out where I was, what was I doing? What happened? I just didn't understand. I didn't know anything had happened. So it was really a weird experience.
Now, right now you are not playing the guitar as of June, 2019. Is that correct?
I am not. I keep trying, but you know, with a broken pelvis and, you know, fractured hip, it's hard to, you know, spread my legs apart to have the guitar sit in my lap. It's hard for me to sit, you know, for any length of time. Mm-hmm. It's a posture thing is what it is. It's not that I can't physically, you know, with my fingers, it's just getting comfortable with the guitar physically. I'm not at that point yet. I'm still working on physical therapy to get me to move and you know, bend enough to where I can get back to that. So,
well, I hope and pray that it does come back and you are able to return. Now, I want to bring one thing up. You're a proud guy, you know, you're a self-sufficient guy and all that, but this stuff has to cost money. I mean, medical costs are exorbitant. I saw that you had a GoFundMe page.
Yeah. I started that just to, you know, try and help with these expenses that I didn't foresee that were completely out of my control. So,
yeah, well, we're going to put that GoFundMe page on our show notes too. So,
well, thank you very much. That I'm so appreciative and so honored. So,
look, Adam, I know you would never ask for anything, but it's important that musicians and listeners help support you and get you through this. So,
well, thank you very much. Anybody who visits and even shares my story, I'm so grateful. So thank you.
I'm just stunned you're here and awake and we're having this conversation. So,
yeah, me too. I'm very grateful every day. So,
wow. Now, okay, assuming that you're going to get back and you're going to have a new CD come out. Oh, and by the way, they say that anything that doesn't kill you only increases your speaking fee. So,
okay, I'll make note of that. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. So, up to this point, Adam, musically, what are you most proud of? I mean, it could be your metal band. It could be, you know, the first guitar stroke. I don't know.
Well, there are so many things that I'm proud of musically. But I think my last album as a whole is my proudest musical accomplishment to date. You know, the people I got to work with on it, the music that came out of it. You know, I really stepped kind of out of my comfort zone with the music that's on that album, and I'm really proud of the production and the response that it's been getting. So that's probably my proudest so far.
Good. And again, we'll make sure we feature this on the River of Calm so people can get to know you better.
Now, thank you.
With your music career, and especially with your new age music, with your inner critic though, do you have self-doubt? Does that ghost appear?
You know, I was thinking you know what? I think I used to have more self-doubt than I do now. You know, I when you're a young musician, you know, you want to please people and you want people to like what you're doing and what you're creating. But now I feel that kind of, I mean, obviously I'd love for everybody to, you know, like what I'm doing, creatively. But you know, you can't please everybody. And if that's your focus, you're going to take away from your creativity. So my focus is music that I love to hear, music that I love, you know, to create, regardless of what its response gets, you know, what people say about it, what people think about it. That, you know, that's not what my focus is when I'm creating music. I'm creating the music that I love to create.
Nice.
And you know, that was hard for me to learn for a long, long time. And I think it was mainly because, you know, I struggled with my ego. But you know, lately, and you know, especially with the last album, I had to, you know, just box up that ego and put it away and just say, you're not welcome. You're not welcome to this session.
So are we talking to the older and wiser Adam?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, no kidding. Tell us, aside from the numerous broken bones, punctured lungs, and all that. Mm-hmm. What's one thing that most people don't know about you, Adam?
That's a tough question. I don't know. I've already revealed that I was a closet New Age guy.
That was a big transition from metal, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that probably would be the one thing that people don't really know, is that I was a huge Wyndham Hill fan all through my heavy metal days.
Yeah. I'll buy that as a good answer for this, because literally, you know, when you're in metal, that's a bravado, you know, it's attitude, right, and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And then coming down to be the sensitive guitarist type of thing, that's a brave step.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Let's say you meet a student who walks up to you and wants to be a musician. You have any advice for them?
Well, like I said, you know, don't create for others. You know, create the music that you love. Do what you want. Mm-hmm. And if you're true to yourself and pure in your art, it's going to reflect and people will respond to it.
Well said on that. Okay. Let's say you had a magic lamp with a genie with one musical wish. What would that musical wish be?
Oh boy. Well, actually, we are talking about it. It's just making it happen. But my biggest wish or goal would be to write, record, and produce music with Will Ackerman.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, that would be a definite bucket list dream come true item.
Well, you're putting it out in the universe, so... You know, the answer's no until we ask.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. So you have one billboard to spread your message across the country. What would you say in your billboard message?
Well, the one thing that comes to mind right now that can be interpreted probably multiple ways is no hurry.
Wow.
Don't, you know, you can't, I mean, with regard to my accident, mm-hmm. You know, there's no need to rush. There's no need to hurry. You know, if you're late to something, take responsibility, own up to it, and move on. There's no need to, you know, put other people's lives at risk for your responsibility, you know, for your hurrying. Mm-hmm. So please just be patient, take your time and, you know, get there safely. With regard to music, never rush the creative process. Wow. You know, again, let it be pure and true, to you and what you love, and, it'll happen. So don't rush the creative process. And enjoy what you're doing.
Well said. Wow. I tell you what, guitarist and composer Adam Werner, your story is amazing. It really,
thank you.
It really is. And I'm all for a comeback, and I think you've got a comeback coming.
Well,
with
thank
you.
You very much. I really hope so, sooner rather than later. Just, you know, I don't want people to wait too long, but again, I can't rush the process.
That's what the billboard says. You're right.
Yes, exactly. So I, you know, just be patient with me and, you know, something will come out of this musically, and I hope everybody enjoys whatever it is. I look forward to that day for sure.
Well, awesome. And let's make sure we're going to post the GoFundMe page for you.
And thank you
you'll
very
see,
much.
Yeah, you'll see. People are going to be here to support you. So there you have it. It's a behind-the-scenes look at guitarist and composer Adam Werner on the River of Calms Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, pianist Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. May the calm be with you.